Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with you. And so, what are we seeing out here? We got markets exploding to new highs. We've got a struggling economy. We've got a Fed chair that can't seem to get her nose out of the books and continues to try to run an economy off of theory. We've got what I like to call a legalized Ponzi scheme. And of course, if you get the definition of Ponzi scheme, the true definition is a Ponzi scheme is a fraudulent investment operation where the operator, an individual or organization, pays returns to its investors from new capital paid to the operators by new investors rather than from profit earned by the operator. So, what do we know for sure? We know the Fed is not creating, a illegal scheme to scam money, but they are creating money out of thin air and bringing in money on the hopes and printing money on the hopes of future movement. So it is, by definition, very, very close, if not an exact, certainly on the border of being a legalized Ponzi scheme, because they have the right to print money. They have the right to create. But I think the real question we should be really asking is the Fed supposed to be worried about the day trading of the market? Okay. Is the Fed supposed to be concerned about the few instead of the many? Okay. And that, I think, is something that we need to, think about, because, again, it always goes back to, where we were. But what is their mandate? Okay. What were they supposed to do? What is the purpose of a central bank? And that is the problem, okay? If you look at it from the standpoint on, what are their duties? Monetary policy. So let's grade them on how they've handled the monetary policy. Well, our dollars continue to get devalued. Okay, you can say, okay, well, that's the fiat currency, and that's the ability to free float. Again, I'm not going to, argue that point. I mean, as long as you can live. Regulating banking institutions and protecting the credit rights of consumers. Okay, well, the way that I see it, they have definitely helped the banking institutions throughout this problem. I mean, did the banking institutions not create the problem? So is that part of the Fed, is to go ahead and create or fix when somebody makes a mistake? So when the banks were making all of those bad loans, was it the Fed's responsibility to go ahead and make them whole again? I understand the banking system. I understand the chance of collapse. I understand depression. I understand it all. But again, my question is should they, is it the Fed's job to bail out a business that decided to go over the top, and because they were making money hand over fist, they didn't care? Maintaining stability of the financial system. Okay. Are we stable? Well, I guess if you're among the 2% or 3% of the population, they're very stable. But if you're among the middle class, would you say you're stable? I guess I have to ask you that question. I think that's more of a question for you than me from my point of view. Okay. I don't think that we're very stable. From my point of view, I don't see jobs creation of value jobs. Okay. I see, you know, jobs being created. I see the numbers. I can read. But I don't see good jobs being created. So are we satisfied, you know, with the stability? You know, yeah, the banks are doing great. And why shouldn't they? I mean, if I had free money given to me all the time, or I could go down and print some in my basement, I'd never have a problem. And then, of course, providing financial services to the U.S. government. Okay. Well, yeah, they've done a great job. And of course, our government, that's a story in itself. I mean, you know, they thought that they had some extra money, although we're $18 trillion in debt. You know, it's an amazing factor when you look at it. And, you know, if you remember just 6 months ago or 7 months ago, the politicians were wondering what they were going to do with all the extra money that was left on their budget. You know, it's amazing to watch, you know, politicians, both sides, continue to dole out capital and cash and continue to say, oh, well, you know, we do have the ability to print. Now, obviously, they've never said that in those terms, but is that not the case? So, you know, when we look at big government, big regulations, and all of the things that they're doing, is it not a legalized Ponzi scheme? Are we not paying off with money that we don't really have? So how are we attaining it? Again, you have to look at the balance sheet and wonder how the hell they're getting, you know, all this done. And of course, we know how it's getting done. It's because now the Federal Reserve is now leveraged up at 75-1. Okay. So, you know, they, and of course they could get leveraged at 150-1. It doesn't matter because it's legal to do what they're doing. However, if you did it or if I did it, we'd be wearing an orange jumpsuit right about now. Okay. And getting that 30 minutes a day to go out and play in the yard. So do you think that the Fed has done a good job? As you know, I ask everybody that comes on the program what they think about the Fed and the job that they've done. Now I'm asking you, has the Fed done a good job? Okay. Now, you know, in my eyes, no, they have not. Okay. In my eyes, they have totally dropped the ball. In my eyes, we could have been flourishing by now instead of waiting every couple of months for the gang from the Fed when they're not out trying to push the markets higher. And don't you just love the fact that they day trade the markets? Is it important that they have to be concerned in the day-to-day movement of a stock market? Is that what we do now? And that, I think, brings in many of the problems that we do have. And if you don't think so, great. I mean, let me know. Shout it out to me, okay? Let me know. Say, hey, Bubba, you're a dummy. You have no idea. Or I agree. Let me know. Bubba@thebubbashow.org. You know, certainly, I love and value the opinions of you, the listeners. And I want to hear what you say. I want to hear how you feel, because you know how I feel, and I'm pissed off and I'm tired of it. And of course, you know, that's why I am running for president, because I want to make the change. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org and make sure you get hooked up for The Bubba Report, which can be got on thebubbashow.org. We'll see you right here, right back after the break. The Bubba Show. The lights, we gonna lose our minds. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, and again, seen coast to coast on your local networks. Make sure you find her and check her out because you will find some of the best information available out there. What's up, Jane?
Not much, Todd. Just looking forward to the weekend. You know, it's been a busy week, so need a little rest. Little R&R.
Especially Jane, because she works the night shift, and of course, it's always tough raising two young children, and I know you got a birthday coming up, and I know you were in Indiana, and how was Indiana? Nice to be home and see the folks?
It was nice, and it's a quick trip, but you can do a lot in, like, 48 hours. So we had a nice flight in. We did some great, like, farm stuff. You know, my kids are New York City kids. So, spent some time with family. They went to an Amish farm. There's some Amish people that live close to us. And, they watched border collies, herd cows, and saw baby chicks and rode on a horse. And then we had a cookout. So, it was great.
Isn't that great? So, Jane, what are you thinking? You know, we've been talking, and you and I have both been a little bit concerned. And, of course, we had Wednesday, we had Janet Yellen make her speech. Did you have any takeaway from what she said or what's going on?
Well, it seems like we're going to have an interest rate hike here soon. I mean, it's been since December 2008. While the economic data isn't great, it is getting better, and we're, you know, a zero interest rate. So I do think it would not be a surprise if we would see an interest rate hike in September, maybe December too. I know they typically don't move in December, but it's possible that we could see two interest rate hikes by the end of the year.
Well, you know, I'm on record and will continue to be on record saying that there's no interest rate this rate rise this year. I don't think they have enough guns to raise the rates. I mean, you know, we've had, you know, back and forth the opportunities to go ahead and raise them. But the biggest problem is, and I think that nobody really realizes this, when we have this low rate environment, it doesn't really benefit the middle class because they don't have access to the money that's cheap. So it makes it harder. And really, in my opinion, and I'm going to get your take on this, the low interest rate environment, although been terrific for the stock market, really has been a hindrance to the average guy and to entrepreneurship. What do you think?
Well, of course, we know money lending has been not that plentiful for small businesses and middle-class people over the past few years, even though the interest rates have been very low. But, yeah, the access to capital, they just don't have. I mean, my favorite thing about banks is they're like umbrellas. I mean, they give you an umbrella when it's sunny and take it away when it rains. I mean, so it's like when you need the money, you know, you can't get access. So when you don't need the money, you can get access to it. But when you do need it, you can. So, there no doubt there's a problem in our country. I mean, with the shrinking middle class, I think other countries are doing better. The answer is structural. I mean, it's not going to be an interest rate change. It's not going to be a law. It's going to have to change, I think, starting with kids that are very young. Education is going to be a part of it. And I think it's going to have to be, you know, just a huge structural change in our society. They can't be fixed, probably for a generation.
And it's probably right. So, yeah, what did you think of the Donald? Did you get a kick out of what he spoke, or did you agree with anything he said?
I watched his speech. I'm amazed at this guy and how, like, just arrogant he is. I mean, it's, you know, and I'm not diminishing what he's done. He's done a lot in business. He's had a lot of ups and downs. He has survived them. So the guy's a survivor, if nothing else. He's an entertainer, too. I was just watching him, you know, talk about how rich he was and just wondering, you know, how the American public is going to feel about that. I mean, some of his ideas are interesting. Some of them seem like they're much too simplistic. That wouldn't really work, getting through Congress and so forth, like making the Mexicans build a wall to stop immigration. I mean, I just can't imagine how that would ever get through. But it's going to be an entertaining Republican nomination process for sure. I mean, I think there's some great candidates on the Republican side this year. Lots of interesting ideas, a lot of fresh faces, and it's going to be a really interesting process to watch.
Now, do you think, you know, again, you're one of the few, you've got, you know, the country girl and the big city girl, right? And you've gone from the farming into the business community. Do you think that, that government is too big, and do you think that we should, there needs to be some adjustment there before any real change will ever come from this?
Well, I do think government is too big. I think government tries to fix every problem, and sometimes if they would just kind of step aside, they would fix themselves. Here's the weird thing about big government and the political philosophies regarding this, is that you have a big government policy, it screws things up, like the housing crisis, for example, and then we got to get more government in there to fix things, and it screws things up even more. So, and it's hard at that point to pull away and say, let's just let the market work a little bit and see what actually happens. And we don't even really know, like, what a true market economy could do for the United States, because people are just so scared of it and so scared to even propose it. So I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to see what we could really do under a true, pure market economy.
You know, because it is funny, you know, you say a pure market and a true market, and, you know, that, you know, markets, you know, forever have always been able to, I mean, even before there was government, basically, markets always resolve themselves, because basically it comes down to, you know, supply, demand, and what do you need, and what are you going to pay for it? And unfortunately, we have not let that part play out, and we've been a little bit too much manipulated through, you know, the Fed and other places that, you know, seem to think that they need to step in and everything, where, you know, it's like, you know, two kids in the park fighting. You know, sometimes you just got to let them fight and let it just knock it out and see whoever can win and let the strong survive. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like in some ways we're almost too far gone for that, because we've got so much wealth concentrated with such a few amount of people in the country now, that could we ever really even have? Could somebody, you know, from lowest economic level, really make it? I mean, we know we do see it. It does happen. But does it happen in large numbers? And I just don't know if we can ever really get back there, because, for example, I mean, you look at some of these people who have made a lot of money. I mean, they have had favorable taxes. They've had access to capital. Maybe they've inherited a lot, and that has allowed them to build a business. So I would love to see a true market economy and what really happens with it, where people are able to, from the very beginning, pick their schools. Parents can pick their schools. They don't not, you know, relegate it to just their own neighborhood. They can really choose that. And whether that would cause people to kind of smarten up a little bit and I don't want to say work harder, but be a little smarter about choices they make rather than relying on the government to take care of everything.
Now, do you think that, you know, last week they came out with, you know, McDonald's, this is their first year ever, they're not going to grow in the number of stores. Does mm-hmm. that send any message to you?
Well, I've watched a lot of companies like McDonald's. I would put General Motors, at least the old GM, in this. You see a lot of companies, they continue to do what's worked for them, because it's worked for them. I mean, it's very tough. If you're a large company and you're like, well, say GM, for example, or McDonald's, well, we keep selling all this stuff, why change it? But then something happens. There's a transition, and the products become stale, and they become old, and generations come through, and people want different things, and the consumer attitudes change. And all of a sudden, you've got this company who has not stayed on top of things, and they're finding themselves digging out of an extremely deep and difficult hole. So I see McDonald's doing that. I don't think they responded quickly enough to the changing consumer appetites about food and quality of food. GM, you know, found themselves in a problem. I think, you know, there are a lot of industries like this that, you know, they just keep raking in the cash, but then all of a sudden they start to see things turn, and it's very hard to get out of that mess.
But does that say anything? I mean, you know, Walmart's been struggling. I mean, listen, you know, we're not going to have a tag day for Walmart, but Walmart's been struggling. I mean, the core companies for the smaller guy, you know, the ones that, you know, you can get, you know, listen, you can take a family of four in McDonald's for about $12 if you needed mm-hmm. to, right? And Walmart, obviously, the cheapest retail. I mean, does that bother you at all that they're starting to have a little bit of struggles in these times?
Well, I think it shows how much the lower rung of the economic ladder is struggling. I mean, how many people are living paycheck to paycheck? How many people don't have health care? You know, and so we get back to the same issue of, well, is there anything, or if the government should do anything about that? All back to that. It's all stuff around. But yeah, I mean, Todd, there's some major issues going on. You know, you look at Greece. I mean, they've been first and foremost in the news this week. I mean, they have had an economy that has been very beneficial to their residents through the government. They retire early. They get all kinds of subsidies. They're not collecting taxes on everything. and they're a mess. And so, you know, you don't want to become like that, but we seem to kind of be adapting these policies over time, because to certain people, they seem like good ideas, but they need to step back and really look. And this doesn't happen overnight. And that's what makes it so difficult to prove your point, is that it takes decades, generations for this to really show up in the economy. And in the meantime, you've got lots of politicians to screw things up.
Jane King, you are awesome as always. Thanks so much. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the... What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know, it's one of our great friends and one of my good friends, and obviously a very talented young TV personality, Julia Son. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Julia.
Hey, how are you, Todd?
I'm doing great. So what is going on in the world of business and in the world of New York? Because that is a world by itself.
In business, there are several things. So one, I'm not sure if you're aware, but last week there's something called the Regulation A Plus. So normally an IPO is filed under either Reg A or Reg D, and they go to the extra wealthy if you want to get in the first part of the deal. But right now it seems like everybody can get in on the next Uber.
Really? So what do you know why the change? Is there a reason why they've done that, or are there special regulations that go along?
Well, I think the intention is very noble. I'm not sure if the execution is going to work, because this is the very early stage of this experiment. I call it experiment. I think the reason why they're doing it is they want to give average Americans the same amount of opportunity as accredited investors. And as you know, accredited investors in the U.S. is defined as if you have $1 million in net worth, or if you have $200,000 in annual income. And that, I think, is only about a few percent of Americans. So if right now with this rule change, if you are, you know, just an average Joe with a bank account with any licensed broker-dealer, you can potentially ask your broker, hey, can I get in on the next Uber?
So is there are there requirements as to how much of their net worth the average Joe can give?
No. Under some, so the rule has two tiers. It says it cannot, you know, it depends on which tier you invest in. There is an upper limit. I think one of them is you cannot invest more than 10% of your net worth, which totally makes sense, but not really. So the point is everybody can get in. But I do see a lot of problem with this, because you don't know who is the next Facebook or Google. So, you know, it's like when you go on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, I'm so overwhelmed by so many choices. So which one do I get in? I don't really know.
Well, you know, because you study this stuff. So what? So first, tell us what Kickstarter and Indiegogo is.
Well, Kickstarter and Indiegogo are basically two fundraising platforms. Say, if you and I, we have this idea, and we think we're going to make the next, let's say, a beautiful keychain that predicts weather. I'm just making it up. And how are we going to get funding? We're going to make a little video and talk about ourselves, talk about our products, and hopefully the world is interested in our products, and they can pinch in $5, $10, $20, whatever, and then we will make it. But the catch about that is it's not a guarantee. You know, if me as an investor or somebody, you know, in this case it's just called a backer or early adopter, it's not guaranteed I will get this, because I think it's very significant. I think about half of the projects on Kickstarters don't actually come to a finish. So if you go on there, you don't necessarily you're not guaranteed by any means that you will get the finished product. There has been lawsuits about it, and it has been really messy. But in a nutshell, Kickstarters and Indiegogo are two platforms for everyday person with ideas to fund their projects.
So if I give somebody money on Kickstarter and I give $10, mm-hmm. what do I get?
Well, you can get whatever product they're advertising. So, for example, if I'm making, again, the keychain that predicts weather, so you're going to give me $10, and I will give you a timeline. Say, in a year from today, you will get a little keychain in the mail that's going to tell you is it going to sunny or rain tomorrow.
Okay, so they...
That is the promise. That is the promise. However, there is no rule that says if you don't get that, what happens?
Gotcha. So I produce a product, and if I do produce it, but eventually, but there. So do I price the product out, or do people put out just an offer of what they want to like donate or whatever? Because more of
this is you propose your product, and then you can ask people, you can solicit, and then people will put in money.
Gotcha.
So you will define the product. And they decide, the backers decide, do I like your product or do I not like your product? And if I like your product, I'm going to pinch in $10, $20, $25, whatever, however it's tiered.
Oh, cool. All right. So do you like the Kickstarter program? Do you think that's a viable product?
I love the Kickstarter program because, you know, the downside is really low. I have so many friends who are just doing their own crazy things. It's really anything goes. You know, of course, the example I gave was an actual product, but some people, they fund movies on that. Some people, they fund, furnishing on that. So they do all sorts of things. There was I'm sure you have heard of this. There was this potato salad guy. He had a Kickstarter project, and he said, I'm going to make a potato salad. If you want a bowl of potato salad, just give me a few dollars. And if every time I make my potato salad, I'm going to thank you and recite your name, that's $5 more. And he raised, so much money. It was jaw-dropping. So anything goes on there.
So, again, I guess people could also run a little bit of scam on there as well, just to try to...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are scams, which is why I think... if you want to fund something on that, you ought to be very careful.
Gotcha. So yeah. What else is going on in the world of New York and in the world of Julia Sun?
Oh, well, I've been playing with a new Apple Watch. Did you get one?
No.
No?
No. What'd they launch?
Well, I've only been playing it for a day, so I can tell you this much. I think it's beautiful. I think it's ambitious. I think it has a lot of potential. But for that very reason, I am not going... I borrowed my friend. I'm not going to buy right now because I'm very much looking forward to the next edition already.
And so what are the good things of the Apple Watch? What do you think?
It's packed with features. It's so ambitious. I'm very impressed, you know, how many programs you can fit in this little thing. A lot of software, fitness software, a lot of apps, and you can receive phone calls. You have to tether it to your iPhone, though. That's, a little bit of a problem for me. I just like it. It looks really nice. I'm not so much of a watch person. A watch for me is more like a fashion statement.
Right.
So, and I think it fits really nicely on your wrist.
Well, that's what I like about it. I mean, actually, pretty much so. I mean, washers are really just a fashion statement because 99% of the people check the time on their phone.
Yes, I do that. I do that.
So, you know, and you set your appointments. Most people have become so electronic that their whole life is based on what their phone is. Because basically, what are you carrying around? You're carrying around a full-size computer that, you know, 50 years ago would have taken up a whole building with the amount of power you're now carrying in your pocket.
Absolutely. And with this watch and what fashion statement, I think it's very well made. Features, but I think it looks very nice. It's very elegant, and it comes in different colors, and you can customize it with whatever. And you know, I think the one with the 18 karat gold, that's a little over the top for me.
That's right. That's right up your alley. You should have 18 karat gold.
Oh, thank you. I would love somebody would give me one that. But I think.
All right, well, what's your address? I'm sure one of our listeners will be happy to send one to you. What's
okay? Well, it's in New York City downtown. Welcome to visit me sometime. Yeah. So, but what it doesn't do for me is, one, I think the battery life could do better. I read a research preliminarily that most of the users finish their day with 30% of the batteries left. I find that a little baffling. Because when I work for a day, I just have no battery left. I don't know if it's because my day is longer, the people around me, the days are longer, or I don't know if my watch is one of those one-time things. I don't know. But I think the battery life could be better. I think it could charge faster. And, you know, I'm one of the features that I'm really looking forward to in the second edition is FaceTime. Right now, I can only receive calls on this watch, but in the second edition, you know, according to speculation, is they will have a camera, and that'll be a big plus for me.
You like that? Yeah. Are you a big FaceTimer?
Yeah, I FaceTime with a lot of people, you know.
Okay.
It's convenient. I'm just like, hi, you know, what's going on? This is where I am. And, you know, I show people, you know, where I tape. It's nice.
So what's have you had any big interviews in the last couple of weeks since we last chatted? Any big scoops for us?
No, I don't have. I might have a few coming up. I'll tell you next time I see you.
And that won't be long. So
yeah, that won't be long.
No, it won't be long. So you're still an independent TV personality doing independent work for everybody, and that's really cool. And and we're gonna step out of here for a break, but we're gonna come back and talk more with Julia because we like talking to her, we like hanging out with her, and she brings a lot of fresh air to the Bubba Show. So we're gonna step out of here for a break. Make sure you go to thebubbashow.org and check out the Bubba Report. Again, I urge you because of who writes for it and the amount of experience there. We are not trying to tell you how to trade. What we're trying to do is try to help you invest better and be more informed in the market. So for $99 a year, you can get all that information, and we deliver it on a monthly basis, and that includes Keith Bliss, Scotch Lady, myself, The Badger, Bonnie Pittenger, and Mike Brown. So check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more from Julia's son. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Julia Sun. And you can check her out at juliasun.tv. If you open that website, you may never close it again. So you got to check it out, though, because certainly she is a very talented reporter, anchor. And, of course, the goal of every TV reporter and anchor is to get to the network and get to the next step. And so check her out. She's really good and really talented. So, Julia, what's hot in New York, or is there anything that we need to know about elsewise? Is there something that you've seen through your day?
Yeah. Well, the weather is definitely getting hotter. Literally. But I'll tell you about something fun. So last night, a few nights ago, I went to see Gigi on Broadway. You might have heard of that show because Audrey Hepburn played the lead when it first came on Broadway many, many years ago. It's a score by Lerner and Lowe. It's very beautiful. Unfortunately, that show closed on Sunday because it didn't get any Tony Award. It got Tony nominations, but it didn't get any significant Tony Award. It didn't win the Best Revival or anything. But I think it was a beautiful show. Vanessa Hudgens was sensational. I think it's a shame that some shows just come to a close.
Well, but I mean, you know, that's like business, right? I mean, you know, it goes back to the supply-demand model. I mean, obviously, as much as you loved it, it wasn't in big demand, right? I mean, that's...
Honestly, you know, it surprised me because I think that Vanessa Hudgens, of course, she's a star from Disney. Her best role is from The High School, The Musical, and I saw so many teenage girls were all over it. So I would imagine After School was let out at the end of May or early June, it would take off, but unfortunately it didn't.
But how many high school kids really have enough to go to Broadway shows, right? I mean, you know, when you think about it, I mean, Broadway is not supported by, 16, 17, 18-year-old girls. I mean, a one-time only, yeah. But, I mean, you know, to get them all, and I mean, that's a lot of dough to go to a Broadway.
Because I feel, remember when Cinderella was on Broadway? That show did very well. I mean, Laura Osnes is one of my favorite actresses on Broadway, too. I'm biased, but that's just Cinderella did very well, and that's the same premise, is we want to get teenage girls in, we want to get young people in, and if that show did well, I don't really see why this show didn't do as well.
Well, I'll give you two reasons in my opinion. One could be that Cinderella parents wanted to take their kids to it even if they were in high school. Gigi, I don't think that's a much of a, you know, parents want to take their kids to it. And number two, mm-hmm. How about the economy is not as good as everybody says it is, and there's just not as much.
That is true. Even though, you know, during the Tony Awards, I didn't check the stats, but during the Tony Awards, people repeatedly said that this year's Broadway attendance is the largest in history. It's the best in history, but of course, a lot of the ticket sales goes to tourists. I think 70% of the ticket sales go to international tourists. So I'm not sure, but to your point, I'm not sure if the teenage girls in America are really contributing, are really coming in the door.
Well, I mean, you're an engineer by trade, mm-hmm. a TV personality by choice. You're bi-coastal, right? You're from California. Mm-hmm. You now live in New York.
Yes.
What are you hearing about? Now, we know you came from a part of L.A. that mm-hmm. doesn't know from usually recessions, right? I mean, you came from the Silicon Valley, so that's they don't really know. And then, of course, in New York is a world all to its own. Even during the financial collapse, they weren't. But what are you hearing?
Yeah, I think it's an island between Europe and America.
What are you hearing from people, and what are people telling you about the overall economy and what they're seeing?
Okay, so in New York, it really depends on where you are. In Manhattan, everything is pretty rosy. Foreign investors are buying houses like crazy, investors especially from Russia and China and Brazil. A significant portion, I don't know the percentage, so don't quote me, but I think at least a fifth of the luxury condos in Manhattan are not occupied because foreign investors, they buy it as, you know, exactly an investment property. They come in here, they don't even ask, okay, what is the cost per square footage? They just ask, just give me the most expensive unit, because they don't really care. They have so much money, a lot of, you know, money, however they made it. So they just came in here to invest in, just to park their money. So the economy in Manhattan is pretty rosy. But that being said, looking at the rest of the country, I don't really see much of a recovery. You heard the Fed statement last week. It's, you know, really nothing has changed. They have not been very direct. They just said, okay, we'll keep the rate low until probably 2016, but we will see as usual. So they're not sure. I think they're real in a very terrible position because it seems like they don't know what they should do, because a lot of the indicators they were looking at, namely unemployment, housing starts, et cetera, are not really taking off. A lot of the data are still pretty lackluster.
All right. So you're young, educated, smart, and in the business. Okay, and of course, I'm an old stodgy old guy, and I think the Fed has done a horrible job, and I think they could have done so much better. Let me get the viewpoint of somebody in your position. Give me a grade for the Fed of how they've done, and then tell me if it's good, why it's good, and if it's not good, how they should have done it better.
I would give them a C. Sorry, but I don't think they've done a very good job because, one, they have not been very transparent. They have not been very direct in communicating. They have always been, oh, we will see about this, we will see about that, maybe that'll happen, maybe that'll happen. So I think they definitely need to communicate their positions better. I think what they have done well is, you know, they changed the criteria according to what is important. So at first they said, okay, we're going to look at the unemployment rate. And then when the unemployment rate fell, you know, below 6%, they're like, they changed their mind. They said, well, unemployment rate is not really an accurate reflection of how many people are, you know, looking for a job, out of job, because we ought to look at other things like labor participation rate, et cetera. So I think that is a good change that they changed the criteria and also inflation and all that. But I think they have to do a better job in communicating.
And I agree, and I think I give them an F. So that's there you go. So
well, you're too great. What grade would you give them?
I give them an F. I think they've done probably
the
worst.
Okay.
I think.
Listen, so you're saying I'm being generous.
I mean, I think that they are a legalized Ponzi scheme, and you know, they continue to print money and they're over leveraged. But so I bash them all the time on air and here and everywhere else that I can. But so we'll skip the Fed, and we both know. So how do you see, you know, again, you have a lot of things going for you and you're all over the place. Where do you see going forward? Are we going to be able to pull out of this shortly, or is this going to be a much longer term really recession for the middle class? I don't care what they say.
I think it's a long-term recession for the middle class. I don't like to use the word recession, but I don't really want to sugarcoat it either. I think this is next year is election year. This is year before election year. So equity market is not going to tank. I really don't think so, because, you know, whoever is in charge will do whatever in their power to hold things, you know, pure rosy. But I think for the middle class, it's going to be a hard ride.
Okay. And so it's been challenging. Now, we're running a little bit close to time, but last week, Chad, you were thinking about possibly going back to trading. Any thought to that still?
No, I'm not going back.
Okay, you're saying
TV too much.
I don't, and I love watching you. I don't see any.
Okay,
I see no reason.
Here's the thing with trading. I think right now, as far as trade, unless you really want to go into asset classes that are, you know, not as common as equity, I think everybody could trade. You could day trade. I mean, I'm not a day trader, but you could day trade. Anybody can open a broker dealer account. So it's, I you know, with technology where it is right now, I don't see it's something you have to do on a traditional trading desk. You can do it yourself.
And those are the words of Julia Sun. Go to juliasun.tv and check her out. She wants to get to the next level, and she's been doing this for a while. She's great at it. So go check her out at juliasun.tv. Thanks, Julia. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will see you tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.